Today's New Testament lesson is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, doing the will and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the results of work, so that no one may boast. But we are what he has made us, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we may walk in them.
That was awesome. Now, with Rick at the organ, you need to remember, you always have to sing because he might stop. In fact, Rick, hey Rick, can we do the chorus one more time? Can we do the chorus one more time? They're gonna be ready now. Yes, they're gonna be ready.
Stand up, we gotta do this. Thank you, Lord.
Now be ready, because he might stop.
Let's do it. We're going to do it two times.
Okay. We're ready.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the
I don't need to say anything after that. That was wonderful. You all preached the sermon. That was incredible. Charlie, can I get away with that? Okay, Charlie says, sure. It is so wonderful to be in this space today, because now this space, for so many of us, has so many different blessings. We had the blessing of Bill being here in the pulpit years ago when he would every once in a while get a chance to preach. We had the blessing of his family. We had the blessing of his friends. It was just an amazing celebration of life that we got to experience on Friday. And we're so grateful for the whole Wimberly family that allowed us to be with you during that time. But it's also a great space because this is ours. This is our holy church. This is our holy corner. This is our holy city. This is our holy world. Because while we're in here, we know that God is saying, get ready. Because Now, go spread that to everyone else. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't be stingy with our grace and our faith and our love. I love that. Well, the scripture today comes from John 3. I'll stop rambling and actually get to what I'm supposed to do. We know this scripture pretty well. It begins with verse 14, but I want to back us up just a touch so we know what's happening. Jesus is around, and one of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, who was a leader of the Jews, really wanted to ask Jesus questions, but did not want to do it in front of everybody else. And so the beginning of chapter 3, it says that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. There's something that we can do. There are things that we can talk about at night that don't feel quite the same in the daylight, right? It's one of the reasons when I was growing up, I loved slumber parties. Because after all of the silliness and after all the food, then we would just talk. There's just something about the nighttime that makes us feel like we're cloaked in love, or at least secrecy or privacy. And it gives us courage to say the things that we can't say yet in the daylight. So Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, comes to Jesus at night, and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And he gets that time to just be one-on-one with Jesus. And then here comes the part that we're so familiar. But I think every time we remember this familiarness, we need to remember where it comes from. This is Jesus meeting this person's need exactly where he is. Chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned. But those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, but so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here is a problem sometimes. When you look at the lectionary texts, and you look a few weeks out, like Rick and I are trying to do and trying to work ahead quite a bit, you realize, oh, sure, John 3:16, let's put that in. And then as you get closer and closer to having to actually preach on that text, then all of these doubts flood my mind. Things like, everybody knows this. As soon as you start reading it, they're going to stop listening because they all know it. You've probably heard a ton of sermons preached on this text, because it is so beloved by us. We like to pick out and pull out the things, especially verse 16, "For God so loved the world." My dad used to sing this beautiful song that was just that verse, and then it went on. But what I remember is that verse. I remember him singing it so well. We become so familiar that sometimes we forget what Jesus is trying to say to Nicodemus and to us. Maybe it doesn't happen with you, but it happens with me.
In all my years of teaching, it happened with me in the classroom. Yes, Ms. Helm, we've heard it a million times, we know. Don't run in the hallway, la, la, la. And yet they would. So, sometimes we need to hear it differently. Last week, I had an experience that just matches what I'm thinking. I heard this group, or as I was going through the Honeywell list a few months ago, I saw this group that was coming to the Honeywell, and it was the Postmodern Jukebox. And I thought, well, that sounds very interesting. So, of course, like any good person, I pulled it up on YouTube, and I'm starting to watch their videos, and it was amazing. It was amazing. And then I said something to some of my friends, and they said, well, I'd love to go to that too. So we got tickets and we went. And I put on my family thread, and my one of my nieces said, they're my favorite group, Aunt Laura, you're going to love that. And my sister said, I listen to them all the time. Postmodern Jukebox is like listening to music from the 80s and 90s, not just then, but done in the style from the 40s. In the 50s. It was so cool. And you would listen to it. Well, at least this was my experience. Maybe some other people had a different one. I would listen to them singing the song, and I'm going, okay, I know this. I know this. I know this. And then they would get to the chorus, and I would go, oh, of course, I knew exactly what it was. I didn't have a clue. But I was hearing it with different ears. And sometimes I think we need to do the same thing. We need to hear something familiar with different ears. If you've ever heard a child read this passage, it will almost make you weep. If you ever hear it read in a different language and you hear the beauty of the flow, it just touches your heart. So, if it's at all possible, as you look at the passage that it's in your insert in the bulletin, I believe, and as you look in your Bible, how do we read this with new ears? How do we pull out what God wants us to know? And it's the problem with just these passages that are so familiar, especially verse 16. We need new ears. And it's actually the essential truth of our Christian belief. Jesus came to this world and he didn't teach anything new. He taught what God said, but it was through new ears. It was through a new experience. It was through a man that came and sat with them and ate with them. It was with a man that walked into a house. It was with a man who didn't worry about touching someone who everybody else thought was unclean or not right. Jesus brought the love of God to the people at that time in a new and powerful way, and did it in such a straightforward expression of God's love. God's love for the people, God's love for the world, and God's love for those yet to come, us, for those that come beyond us. How do we do that same thing? How do we teach those around us that these aren't just words that we've heard since we were little and just recite? These aren't just words that we have little kids learn in Bible school so they can stand up and everybody can sit in the pews and say, oh, that's so precious. The Music Man is one of my all-time favorite movies, and I just got to watch it again last week. It was on, I don't know, something. And as I was flipping through, it was just starting, so I'm caught. I know what I'm doing for the next hour plus. I'm watching that movie because it's so much a part of me growing up. But do you remember the scene at the very end? They're getting ready to drive Harold Hill away forever. They're getting ready to tar and feather him. They're getting ready to, because we've spent all of this money. And remember, where is the band? And all of a sudden, all these little kids come in these uniforms that didn't really fit them too well, carrying these musical instruments that they had absolutely no idea what to do with, because Harold Hill had told them, just take that home and just think the minuet in G. Just think it, and then you'll play it. And they stand up and they start to play. If you've seen the movie, you know it is not melodious, it is not beautiful, it is barely the minuet in G. Da 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 da, you know. And yet, what happened? As those children are playing, you could hear the parents pop up and say, "That's my Barney. Oh, play it. Play it for your mama." Remember? You see, when we hear things with new ears, and especially if it comes from a source that we weren't really expecting, that's what God asks us to do. Live out this scripture. Live like we believe John 3:16, 17, all the way through. And let people see it in action. New and fresh. This is the essential part of our Christian belief. God didn't expect us just to learn it when we were little and then be able to recite some verses and when we come together in our little group, celebrate and rejoice. God expects us to live this out like we believe it in our hearts. God expects us to let people know that the light of the world has come. And if you don't know what that light is, come with me. Let me play you a little tune on my trumpet. I'm not going to play it well, but I'm going to play it for joy. As Jesus walked on this earth, Jesus was with the people. He went from place to place because that was his destiny, to be able to teach. And he wasn't doing it just so that people could say, "Oh man, this is awesome." He was doing it to train the disciples, to train the crowds, to train the cities. Let me teach you about love. Let me show you what it looks like. It's not words, it's our actions. It's how we treat people. It's how we treat the earth. It's how we treat the stranger. Jesus continued to engage people. Jesus wasn't afraid to argue with people and persuade them because Jesus was hoping for their transformation. Well, it happened with me. My guess is it happened with many of you. That I was transformed by the love of God. And Jesus reminds us, continue to engage, continue to argue, continue to persuade. Well, let me go backwards just one little tick. Because we're afraid of the word arguing, aren't we? We haven't learned that we can argue and disagree vehemently. And I didn't necessarily persuade you to believe like I did. You didn't necessarily persuade me to believe. But something stuck in my brain. I remember what you said, and I'm going to think on that. That's what Jesus did. All of that engagement and persuasion and arguing was for our transformation, to help us to see that we've been created by God to live in this world with others. Now, when we look at Nicodemus, he came to Jesus at night and then he scurried away. But the gospel writer for John says, "Oh, but did you read to the end of the book?" Because if you continue reading in the Gospel of John, in chapter 19, verse 39, there is Nicodemus. He came and he was one of the people who helped take care of the body of Jesus after the crucifixion. Those few minutes he had with Jesus resonated in his heart and soul and made it impossible for him not to act. And he came back. He was probably in the crowds. His heart was probably breaking. And I know I'm putting emotions and words into a person that we don't really know. But you don't stick around and help take care of the body when everybody else has left. And there are just a few of you to do the work that needs to be done if you haven't been transformed, if you haven't been changed. And here is the good news for us. Because God is who God is, that we are surrounded by the light of God, the light finds us. It exposes the darkness in us, and it reminds us that we were created for a purpose. And that purpose was to show the love of God to everyone around us, whether they're our family, whether they're Presbyterian, whether they're Methodist. It doesn't matter. Maybe they don't even believe in God yet. Even more, the reason to love and to honor and to have compassion and care. That's what God asks us to do. And God doesn't leave us alone. The light of God illuminates a path for us and leads us in places we never thought we would be in. I know you've probably heard me say this before. Never in a million years did I think I would leave the elementary school where I was teaching for 16 years. I thought I was there forever. Forever. And I would have loved that. But my path got illuminated in a different place and in a different way. And it has led me to so many wonderful places. And, well, you knew this was coming. It led me to Duke. It was a night, wasn't it? It was a night of expectations that did not work out the way we hoped and prayed. But that's okay. That's okay. Because we know that last night was not the end of our basketball season. And even if it was, it's not the end of what is inside of us. See, I know it's trivial, and I know that it's exciting. But God brings us together and gives us passions for different things, whether they're sports or music, but mostly it's passions for God's people. No matter who they are, no matter where they're from, no matter what they have been through. It's the challenge for all of us. The Gospel of John is sometimes given the sharpest criticism by believers, because John wants secrets out. And so many times, I don't have the words. I miss opportunities. And yet, I believe God says to me every single night, "Well, Laura, you tried your best. Let's see if tomorrow your best isn't just a little bit better." Because God knows my heart. God knows I cannot follow through with everything that I should. And I miss opportunities right and left. And I forget, and I'm not. And God looks at me and says, "Okay, tomorrow's a new day." God does the same thing with each of us. It's not just those that went to a very fine seminary. It's not just those who go into the clergy. It's not just those who teach Sunday school. It's not just those who attend church. For God loved the whole world that he gave Jesus to us. So, here is our challenge, not to keep this secret. And these days, it seems that for us, especially for us, those of us in the United States, the Christian tradition and Christianity has been the dominant religion. And with that comes amazing responsibility. Because God says, you have the power to reach those who have been excluded, to reach those who have been marginalized, and to help them see the love of God through you. Make it so powerful that they want to know what you know. And God says, and if it doesn't work, there'll be somebody else. But do your part, do my part, do our part. It's the love that God gives us. And then God says, you have this belief. Now move that into trust. That's the transformation part. We can say we believe all the time. I believe. But if it doesn't move into actual action, we're stymied. We have to show the transformation in our life. And so, for those days when we want to withhold anything that does not smack of allegiance to God, we're reminded, who will serve? If you won't go out, if you are so stuck within yourself with being loyal or being trustworthy, you forgot that your allegiance is to God who says, go and serve. We need to watch for those times when new life is offered to people. Because I believe that there are times when we are in difficult situations, and all it takes is something that we have. We get so obsessed sometimes with conformity and decorum, and it has to be done this way, and it can only be done this way. Bill Wimberly taught us, for those of us that listened to the sermon during his funeral, Bill Wimberly was teaching us, that's your starting point. That's your launching pad. Now, get out and do it. And in Bill tradition, do it with a smile on your face. That's our job. And finally, we have to move into that trust from what we thought were the long, long held ideas of what God's purposes are. For those of us in this country, I think we believe that our purpose is for happiness and health and safety. We are to keep our family happy and healthy and safe. We are to hope and pray our children are happy and healthy and safe. And yet, when we read the gospel, it's not. The gospel is reckless. The gospel is daring. The gospel is bold. That's what God says. Hear with new ears. Hear those songs that postmodern jukebox play with new ears that you're thinking, oh, okay, I know this, I can do this. And then the chorus hits that says, Jesus loves you. Or whatever it is in your heart that is your foundation. And God says, there you go. Go celebrate. Go live, go show joy to those people who have never been touched, either through their heart or their person, and be the children of God. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.